Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to you and welcome to this special session of the Doha Debates sponsored by the Qatar Foundation. It coincides with a meeting here of the Alliance of Civilizations, a UN initiative set up to combat extremism wherever it appears. And that's our issue for today. But who can define extremism for the rest of the world? Look at the difficulties in defining terrorism. And as we've seen in the current controversy over the Danish cartoons, who's going to listen to any pleas for calm or moderation? Just some of the questions that are going to be asked today by our student audience, coming as they do from many countries, but predominantly from the Arab world. Well, as you can see, we have a distinguished panel bracing itself to respond to their questions. Desmond Tutu, who as Archbishop of Cape Town was one of the chief architects of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Commission and a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Diana Bhutu, a lawyer by training and a former legal advisor to the Palestine Liberation Organization during peace negotiations with Israel. She also helped to set up an outreach program speaking directly to ordinary Israelis about the effects of occupation. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, a leading and outspoken Muslim scholar. He travels the world giving talks on Islam and is the founder of the Zaytuna Institute, dedicated to the revival of traditional Islamic study methods and the sciences of Islam. And Dr. John Esposito, professor and founding director of the Center for Muslim Christian Understanding at Georgetown University. He's also served as president of the Middle East Studies Association of North America and is a prolific author with some 30 titles to his name. Ladies and gentlemen, our panel, and welcome to all of you. What we're going to try and do, first of all, and maybe this is very ambitious, but we're going to try and get the issue of definitions out of the way so that it doesn't dog our discussions for the rest of the afternoon. So could I please ask Nasser Al-Thani to give us the first question?
I would like to see an internationally agreed upon definition towards like extremism and terrorism. Does the panel think this could ever be possible?
Desmond Tutu, can we get definitions of extremism and terrorism? We haven't had much luck in doing that so far, have we?
Extremism is when I think you do not allow for a different point of view, and when you hold your view as being quite exclusive, when you don't allow for the possibility of difference. My father used to say, don't raise your voice, improve your argument.
Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
That's a real problem, defining extremism. I think it's maybe a little bit like obscenity. You know, I know it when I see it. But it's one of those nebulous terms.
But without a definition of extremism, how do you know what you're combating?
I think the best definition that I can come up with is Caleb Carr's, which is that terrorism is the use, it's the use of violence in order, but against civilians, in order that that population that's being aggressed upon forces their government to the table of negotiation or to some change in their policies.
Diana Bhutu, definition of extremism?
I think it's very difficult to come up with a definition of extremism because, again, it implies that there's a norm, and unfortunately we see that norms are shifting and changing. I think it's important to understand what the cause of it is rather than to make a definition of what it is.
But it's not an abstract concept. It's propagated by people, isn't it?
It is absolutely propagated by people, just in the same way that terrorism is propagated by people, but so is war. And unfortunately we've gotten to a point where terrorism is the new bad word rather than the word war. There was a time when I was growing up when the word war or apartheid or things, those sorts of concepts were much worse than terrorism. And I think now because we don't know exactly who it is that's carrying out these acts or why it is that they're carrying out these acts, or so we suppose that we don't know, that that's why it becomes a much more looming term than that of war.
John Esposito, are we starting with a muddle where definitions are concerned?
Is
that a major setback?
We can come up with an abstract definition. But the only way we can get, when we want to get specific, then we have to look at a specific political or religious context.
Okay, well, we have a second questioner who wants to get quite specific. Omar Aluba, could we have your question, please?
Does the panel consider the Israeli government an extremist in that it kills innocent Muslim women and children in Palestine?
Diana Bhutu, do you want to take that?
Yes.
That was a yes to taking it and a yes to the question.
Yes, I do consider that the Israeli government is an extremist government in that it has maintained an occupation now over the Palestinians for close to 39 years. It has carried out immense acts of aggression against the Palestinians, including the killing of innocent civilians, the demolition of homes, the deportation of Palestinians, the denial of natural resources, and most importantly, the denial of freedom. All of this has been done for political purpose, and the political purpose is to try to rid historic Palestine of the Palestinians and in order to create Eretz Israel or larger Israel. So yes, I do consider it extremist.
Do you consider Hamas an extremist movement as well for blowing up civilians on buses?
I think that the acts that Hamas is carrying out would, in fact, in my definition of extremist, be labeled extremist. But I think it is important to understand the context in which international law and international relations take place, which is there is a powerful and there's a powerless, and it's by and large the powerful who are making the definitions to be used against those who are powerless.
Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
Certainly in their policies vis-a-vis the Palestinian state, I would have to absolutely assert that they're an extreme government. Collective guilt is not recognized by any law tradition on this planet that has any weight. And so destroying people's houses because they happen to be related to somebody that supposedly committed a crime is an extreme and gross aggression against all sense of international justice.
So you would want to see the AOC group going to the Israeli government and saying on behalf of the United Nations that this is reprehensible behavior and you should stop it?
Absolutely.
Rabbi Schneier, would you like to come in on this? We can get a microphone to you, please.
There's a very basic premise, and the basic premise is mutual acceptance. Or, in my words, to live and let live. I want you to live as a sovereign, independent state of Palestine, and I want Israel to be a sovereign, independent Israel. Mutual acceptance. It's the only way to go. I tell you, young people, it's in your hands. Because you control the future. We're the past. You control the future. If you reach out to one another in terms of mutual acceptance, you can build a glorious future. And that's the way to go. And I'm convinced that this conflict will come to an end just as any other conflict.
Can you have mutual acceptance, though, of people who commit atrocities or other extremist acts?
The way to go is really respect for the other, respect for human life, respect for the stranger. We talk a lot about democracy. If you want to have a definition of democracy, how the majority treats the minority. Mm-hmm. Whether it's politically or religiously speaking, that is a barometer. How the majority treats the minority.
Okay, Rabbi, thank you very much. Diana, can you live with that?
With the definition of democracy.
Yes.
I think it's a test of a strong democracy is how, the litmus test is how is it that we do treat the minorities? This is something that I've always been advocating and looking towards is how is it that we treat the weakest elements of our own society? Are they treated with respect, with dignity, or are they treated as though they're second-class citizens? And unfortunately, in the case of the Palestinians, they haven't been treated with dignity or with respect. There are Palestinians who are citizens of Israel, who are minorities, who are second-class citizens, who are not treated with any dignity, respect, and above all, they're not denied, and above all, have been denied their freedom.
All right. Can I just give a reminder that we do want to hear also from you, our student participants, and also from the UN group as well. So please, if you have any feelings, do share them with us. Lady in the fourth row, we get a microphone to you, please.
You're being, trying to define what extremism is and what's terrorism. I think that there is a difference between the political extremism and religious extremism. I think that religious extremism is going beyond the fundamentalism. I mean, fundamentalism is adopting each, for example, for Muslims, adopting the Sharia as it is and doing it exactly the way God has asked us to do it. And there, for me, religious extremism is going beyond that, is trying to impose it on others to do, to be like them. And it's before terrorism. I think terrorism is linked with violence. Extremism, if you're an extremist, you're not necessarily a terrorist. This is why I think personally. And I think that political extremism is like wanting to impose your opinion on the other parties, like in a government or...
Okay, Sheikh Hamza, yourself.
Well, I mean, I think I agree with that in terms of extremism. For a lot of people in the West now, in a society informed by secularism, the fact that I pray and wash five times a day would be seen as obsessive compulsive disorder to some people, like a pathology. So I think people will consider a lot of Muslims religious extremists because they pray by the minimum five times a day. For a Muslim, it's interesting. In Islam, the definition of extremism includes also lack of religion. So people that are not religious are seen as extremists in that they're not fulfilling a basic human function. So again, it's about definitions and who's defining them. And I think different cultures will define things very differently. And labeling theory, Foucault says ultimately it is the powerful that define things. And right now, Western civilization has an immense amount of sovereignty on the planet. And so in that sense, it has framed the discourse. And all of us are often stuck in this position of reacting to an already framed discourse and not allowing our own terms of debate to be allowed into the discourse. So we have to constantly define ourselves. I'm not an extremist. I'm not a terrorist. I'm not this. I'm not that. As opposed to being able to be in a more positive position, which is always taken by the powerful. They're the ones that tell us who they are, and they force us to tell them who we're not.
But I think the danger of religious extremism can be, even though it's not necessarily violent, to get back to the Archbishop's definition, when it becomes exclusivist, in which it basically says, not only is my faith right, but your faith is absolutely wrong, and not only is my faith right, but my faith position within my faith is right, and so another Muslim who disagrees with me is wrong, then you're in a very dangerous position here because you're bordering on what I would call a theology of hate. That kind of mentality can easily be used by some, and it has been used by people like Osama bin Laden, to legitimate military action at a certain point. You can easily slip over the line once